Well, as the media continues to look in shocked disbelief at Trump's precipitous fall in the polls, recent weekend data suggests Mr. Yellowhair is within 1 to 3 points back, coiled and ready to strike. Perhaps his most recent brush with infamy is enough of a near-death experience to put the fear of the Grim Reaper into him. Meanwhile, Hillary is looking increasingly frail, barely making it up a recent with great assistance. Speaking of near death, her corpse might be reanimated by sheer will and utter hatred, which seems to be her main spirit. She recently has also had a brush with fibbing, where she refused to admit the obvious about her emails, which everyone knew from watching the testimony on Capitol Hill. And now Hillary and Bill Clinton Foundation continues to ooze toxic facts like a charitable love canal. The foundation has $2 billion on the books, but supposedly $100 billion in total assets, making the Donald look like a pipsqueak in comparison. What does the future hold for America after this race? It puts a chill up our national back. Stay tuned, keep your powder dry, and stay on your knees in supplication, sports fans. Good morning, Kelly here, 608. And it was a fair amount of clouds over the weekend, but not really too much of the rain. We got a little rain last night where I'm at, but overall it was kind of disappointing. All right, so Donald Trump has had a terrible, terrible few days. Supposedly, it's hard to tell because the media is so anti-Republican, and even a person that they like, John McCain, once he gets into the national news cycle, once he's running for president, he's hated and he's detested by the media. And the same thing will happen to Trump, or it's already happening. Even though he would be 10,000 times more interesting than Hillary in terms of sound bites and such. And if the media had any common sense, they would remember that and try to get him in there just for their own benefit. But, you know, the media is sick. The media is really dead. And what is left over is like ghouls, you know, just kind of picking over the corpse of the media. So you go to the internet, you go to talk radio, you go wherever you can to get alternative facts. And so anyway, I've got for you today, I've got an interview that I did with Steve Pierce last week, which I think was last Thursday. So we're going to get that going for you as well. I'm going to give you some headlines here. And then I've got this really weird testimony, or not testimony, but some statements about the Clinton Foundation, where one person is saying that there's $100 billion in it, that the charity is not really under the laws that people think it is, because it's never complied with and gotten all of the boxes checked for the charity. So it's not supposed to be doing anything internationally to begin with. You know, they say that despite all of the money that was raised by the Clinton Foundation for Haiti, that there is nothing on record that they had done over there. Isn't that weird? So it just kind of blows your mind that this has been operating out in the open and nobody in the media has any interest in it whatsoever. Thing with Obama, though. So anyway, the death of the Republic, when it comes, you will be attributed to a large part because the media just lost interest in its job because they became advocates. And then from becoming advocates, they became just totally incompetent. And, you know, it's just, you see it time and again. It's just amazing how repetitive it is. All right. Hillary's history of damage. 2009, Falls going into White House, broken elbow. 2011, Falls boarding plane. 2012, Falls at home, blood clot. I think that's when she was in the hospital, wasn't it? She was in supposedly in for 30 days or whatever. I can't remember. 2016, she finally conquers the stairs. There's two guys dragging her up the stairs, and she can barely make it. And she has these coughing fits, so you just really have to wonder what that is about. And it really kind of makes you just a little bit curious how much life she's got left in her. I mean, Bill Clinton, I keep hearing stuff about his health, but he is it's like a wind-up doll, you know. He just keeps going. All right, so some more headlines for you. See here. Putin space spy fleet is in space now. Hipster aesthetic taking over the world. Pakistan, 63 plus dead after suicide bomber blows himself up at an entrance to a hospital. I told you the last time I mentioned this, in the last 30 days, and this is probably 5 days ago or more, last 30 days, there were 150 suicide bombings and 1,200 victims. So you can add 63 to that. And the Amish are backing Trump. Donald Trump to propose moratorium on financial regulations, repeal estate tax. He's got a lot of great ideas. He's supposedly going to bring in the biggest tax break since Reagan, when the economy last grew at such an amazing level. And a lot of people believe that it's pretty obvious that the Clinton economy was based on the Reagan revolution, the Reagan tax revolution. He took the marginal tax rate from something like 77% down to 36%. So you got all of that money that was just blasted into the economy, and the economy just took off and never looked back. And that was after Jimmy Carter got up and said, you know, you've got to get used to living with less. And he had his little Mr. Rogers sweater on. And, you know, there's something wrong with that guy, too. But as everybody knows, all right, so 614, 615, let's come back and let's get into the Steve Pierce interview, if it'll play. That was done last Thursday. Kelly O'Connell, 614, and you're listening to AM Las Cruces on AM 1450. 1450 KOBE, got a little Grant Green for you this week. He's a very tasty jazz guitarist. 615 on the button, we'll be right back. 523-1450. I got that interview coming up. I still got to crack it open. But anyway, like I was saying, the fact of the matter is that Trump is really not that far back. But I do think that he has got to figure out a way to move from where he's at, where people see him as a bully or a person who is just petty, to a statesman or a person who's puts the country first. Now, how that's going to happen, I mean, I think it's just by not reacting is basically, and if he doesn't react, then he's got every right to start building strength and everything. I've got a little thing from Hannity here, which I can't think kind of sums up how I feel about things. If Trump loses, I blame the party leaders and the establishment. I'm sick and tired of these idiots. That's how I feel. The individuals who are standing up and saying, I can't take Trump anymore, I'm going to back the other opponent. The other side represents in many ways the exact opposite, not only of what Trump stands for, but what the party stands for. So when you're doing that, you might think that you're achieving something great. This is always the story with the Republicans. And Neil Hooks is challenged me to service the Republican Party and to make sure that there's purity in there and everything. But the Republican Party is a bunch of fools. The people at the top of it are. And, you know, they have taken their constituency for granted for years. They've put out bad candidate after bad candidate. And now when you've got somebody who can actually win, the party's not standing behind him. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect candidate. But in the meantime, for those people like Meg Whitman, who wanted to be the governor of California, she's so liberal that she can support Hillary Clinton, even though a Hillary Clinton candidacy. I was just thinking about this. I kind of woke up last night. I was thinking about what the country would look like when Hillary got done with it. I really don't think there'll be anything left. And it would be amazing if we spent 8 years. We're so ideologically programmed to want change and to need this kind of weird liberalism that it doesn't bother us that we have 8 years of 2% growth. No other candidate would have gotten away with it. Now we're going to go into a third term of this stuff. And Hillary is portrayed as being the only competent one, the only one who's prepared. You've got to be kidding me. What has she ever done other than screw stuff up anywhere? Here's Sean Hannity.
You listen to the media. They are telling you Trump allies are plotting a candidate intervention. After a disastrous 48 hours, key Republicans close to Trump's orbit are plotting an intervention with the candidate after a disastrous 48 hours led some influential voices in the party to question whether Trump can stay at the top of the Republican ticket without catastrophic consequences for his campaign at large. RNC head Reince Priebus, Mayor Giuliani, House Speaker Newt Gingrich are among Trump endorsers hoping to talk the real estate mogul into a dramatic reset of his campaign in the coming days. By the way, there are things he can improve on. We're going to get to that in a second. The Daily Mail, Republicans actively exploring a plot to ditch Trump. Incredibly upset, party chair Reince Priebus calls candidate over the feud with the Kahn family. Republicans are revisiting party rules for filling vacancies after Trump's erratic week. Plan would only work if Trump were to remove himself from the ballot. Officials are fuming over candidates' refusal to endorse Paul Ryan and also John McCain. Now, look, my first thing I would say to Donald Trump about all of this is he's got to stop talking. We're 96 days away, 96 days away from this election, and this election is completely winnable. You can't listen to a media narrative, and you can't. You know, I understand his frustration with Paul Ryan and John McCain and Lindsey Graham, and I don't think Senator Ted Cruz is endorsed or John Kasich or Jeb Bush. I get his frustration. You know, I'm particularly annoyed at Paul Ryan. You know, Paul Ryan is up against the fight of his life, if you believe the media and what they're saying about his primary race that's coming up in a week in Wisconsin. And I'm a little sick and tired. It seems Paul Ryan is, and some of these other establishment Republican types have taken to the idea that they are going to be true to what it means to be a Republican. And I don't think there's anything about Trump's agenda that's not conservative, maybe with the issue of trade. You can argue on the issue of free trade, but I think Trump's a free trader. He just wants better trade deals, and everything to him is a negotiation. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I feel like I'll tell you one other thing. I'm just going to say it, because it needs to be said. If in 96 days Trump loses this election, I am pointing the finger directly at people like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham and John McCain and John Kasich and Ted Cruz, if he won't endorse, and any of the Jeb Bush and everybody else that promises they're not keeping. And because I have watched and witnessed to the point of incredible frustration, I have watched these Republicans be more harsh towards Donald Trump than they've ever been in standing up to Barack Obama and his radical agenda that has doubled the national debt, that has resulted in a 51-year low in terms of home ownership in this country, the percentage of homes that are owned by Americans, that has led to the lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, and that has led to millions and millions and millions more Americans in poverty and on food stamps and out of the labor force. They did nothing. Nothing. All these phony votes to repeal and replace Obamacare show votes so they can go back and keep their power and get reelected. Sorry, you created Donald Trump, all of you, because of your ineffectiveness, because of your weakness, your spinelessness, your lack of vision, your inability to fight Obama, your fear of being blamed for a government shutdown. And I'm getting a little sick and tired of all of you. I mean, I honestly am just tempted to say I don't support any of you people ever. Well, you know what? Paul Ryan wants to play this game. Well, I haven't made up my mind either. He's running against the guy in the primary. I haven't made up my mind who I'm going to support. Well, you know, we'll find out in a couple of days. I haven't made up my mind, this game that they're playing. And so Trump fires back because he's sick and tired of these idiots that can't. You know, we just had a Democratic convention where you had the single most leftist socialist platform ever written in American history. I don't hear a peep out of any of these people about it. You had a socialist that now defines and captures the hearts of the Democratic Party. You don't hear a peep out of these people. You have a president that was reckless not only with the economy, as I just mentioned, and doubling the national debt and accumulating more debt than every other president before him combined. He literally gave money to the number one state sponsor of terror, Iran, to get hostages back. And he's given these idiots $150 million of money so they can, according to reports last week, now they've cut in half the time they can build nuclear weapons. Where were you after American treasure, blood, sweat, tears, the financial burden of winning Iraq, and you allowed these people to demagogue the war in Iraq, and that created an opening for ISIS? I don't hear you critical of Hillary. How many Americans died in Mosul and Ramadi and Fallujah and Tikrit and Baghdad, only to hand it over to the JV team that's contained? You got to be kidding me. How many of you fought Obama on Syria? How many of you fought hard to expose the lies that were told about Libya or the lies in Hillary's email server scandal? Some of you did, but a lot of you didn't. You're too busy criticizing Trump, Speaker Ryan. It's ridiculous. Sick of all of it.
Well, I think that sums up how I see it, too. We'll take another break here. It's hard to not come up with the conclusion that Trump is ultimately hated because he's an outsider. And even though Hillary is terrible and she's like Satan, she's in the game. You know, she's paid her dues or whatever these people think. It's just, it is mind blowing. The GOP is willing to just let itself go down the toilet. I've never seen anything like this before. I know that there's been a lot of screw-ups in history, but what do these guys think that they're gaining from this, you know? I just do not understand it. Anyway, we'll take a break here and come right back. I'm kind of struggling a little bit to actually find where this Steve Pierce thing is, but we'll pin it down one way or the other. 629 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. And I just found the text machine, so 805-6180. And we will be right back. right. So still looking for that. I'll find it. But in the meantime, we've got some information that the FBI is investigating the Clinton Foundation, which is a big deal. They're not going to do anything with it, but, you know, that the FBI could also do what was done by Comey, James Comey, when it came to the kind of the opening up of what was going on in the email scandal. Even though he doesn't indict her, he puts out a lot of information there that's very damaging to her. Now, here's a little bit from Schweitzer on the investigation.
Welcome back to Hannity. Clinton Cash author Peter Schweitzer is out with a damning new report that shows during Hillary Clinton's time as Secretary of State, well, she had
here we go. All right, that's stuck. Let's move on to the next one here, which is an interview with Charles Ortel, who's talking about the $100 billion. Now, he is the Harvard-trained, not economist, but he's an accountant, and he's looked into and found $100 billion in the Clinton Foundation. Unbelievable.
I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. With us, we have, I'm catching a Wall Street expert on the fly. He has called the Clinton Foundation one of the biggest charities in the history of the planet. His name, and before I bring him on, let me give you a little bit of his resume. His name is Charles Ortel. He's serving as manager partner of Newport Value Partners, established in 2007, provides value-added research to executives and investment firms. He has a huge, deep Wall Street career going back to the 80s and 90s. He has done global financing, global things with Wall Street and finance around the planet. He started looking into the Clinton Foundation because he says there might be a, you know, the kind of people he runs into might have $10 million to invest into a foundation. They sure don't want to invest into something that could be a fraud. Let's go ahead and bring him on. He's Charles Ortel. Charles Ortel, thank you for joining us today on the fly. I know it's a funny shot. You're in there in the New York Public Library, but thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
Thanks for having me on, Greg.
Well, you've called the Clinton Foundation one of the biggest charity frauds ever. I think you may have said the world. Tell us about the Clinton Foundation. What do you think the Clinton Foundation is? And I want to tell you, you're not alone. Before we go on, I just want to say that anybody that thinks that Charles Ortel, who's a private individual, private investing guy, uses his skills. We just had James Kellstrom. He's a former assistant FBI director. And he said on television, quote, that the Clinton Foundation was a huge, huge criminal conspiracy. Charles, what do you think about the Clinton Foundation?
Well, when you look at a Clinton out of any foundation, the Clinton Foundation in particular, you have to check and see what its authorized tax-exempt purposes are. And because this entity raises money from the public continuously, as we're having this interview, they're raising money. They have to actually be very specific. And their authorized tax-exempt purposes stated in their application, which is dated on the 23rd of December, 1997, were just to be a presidential archival facility in Little Rock and a related research facility. They never have been authorized, as far as I can tell, from the public filings that need to be out there so everyone can look at them. They've never been authorized to do such things as fight HIV/AIDS, fight climate change, convene meetings in New York, set up these various initiatives. None of them has actually been validly authorized, which means that they have been raising money on the basis of false and materially misleading public filings, and they've been doing it using the mail, using the internet, using telephones, all of which is a federal crime.
Wow, make sure you held yourself in the middle. You're saying that their foundation never was really a 501c3 for the purposes, that they're saying that this has never been a 501c3 that like the American Red Cross or whatever. Is that right?
Well, it was a 501c3 for the narrow purpose of being a presidential archive and research facility in Little Rock. What I'm saying is that they never got authorization from the IRS to pursue international purposes, and they never got authorization validly from the IRS to convene meetings for the Clinton Global Initiative, to fight obesity, to do a bunch of other things that they say they've been doing. And why does this matter? The reason it matters is the IRS generally very suspicious about charities because they're the perfect vehicles for fraud if they're not controlled properly, if the trustees aren't independent, if they don't have real audits, if they don't make truthful filings concerning what they intend to do and what they have done, then while the money that comes towards a charity can simply be put in people's pockets and no one will ever know the difference.
So, Charles, how much money are we talking about that the Clintons have raised?
Well, what the Clinton Foundation itself has declared that it's raised is more than $2 billion, $2 billion and change. But because this foundation has never had a real audit, they have had what masquerades as an audit, but something that doesn't comply with the strict accounting regulations with which I'm very familiar, no one actually really knows how much money they've raised in the main foundation and all surrounding initiatives. One related initiative is the effort to help people in Haiti after the earthquake. There, Bill was made special UN envoy to Haiti in April 2009, and there was a disastrous earthquake in 2010, January. The Clinton-Bush joint venture of the charity has raised about $100 million or so, around $100 million. But in addition to that, there's something called the Interim Haiti Relief Recovery Commission, which Bill and a former prime minister of Haiti co-chair. That entity may have raised between $10 and $14 billion. Nobody really knows what happened to that. Bill has served as co-chairman of honorary chairman of the American India Foundation. He hasn't disclosed that in the Clinton Foundation filings. There, it is estimated that they may have raised $1 billion doing that. They have taken, they've been affiliated with the Global Fund, which that entity has raised on the order of $50, $60 billion. So when you start adding up all the affiliated entities, you're getting close to $100 billion.
Wow, that is absolutely stunning to me. $100 billion of money drawn in. They say it's $2 billion, it's $100 billion. They've never really been set up to collect any of this, according to you. Why isn't the FBI cracking down on this? This is an obvious, huge, as the former assistant FBI director Kallstrom said, a huge criminal conspiracy. Why in the heck are the FBI not cracking down on this?
Well, I think one of the reasons is I wrote a story back in last year that got this started called Why It With So Many Red Flags, Why Isn't the IRS Auditing the Clinton Foundation? It's March 16, 2015 on Breitbart. And, I think part of the reason is, unfortunately, members of the Republican Party are involved in this, not necessarily in the same way, but the Bush family, Mike Huckabee, others are tied to these various entities. So it's a bipartisan problem. And it's so embarrassing. I mean, when you look at this, when you think back to what happened, what is alleged to have happened starting in March 2010, the Justice Department and the IRS may have aggressively gone against conservative Tea Party charities and people who were trying to become charities that had conservative leanings. When you look at the way in which they were prosecuted and persecuted, and you contrast it with the ways in which these Clinton Foundation entities have been allowed to operate without being punished, it's impossible to argue that of recent years that the scales of justice have been evenly balanced as concerns right-leaning and left-leaning people. And, you know, when you open up this can of worms, what you're opening up is a domestic political scandal. But in addition, one major scandal that is global in scale is that global governments have given a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation, and their records do not square with the Clinton Foundation filings concerning how much money the Clinton Foundation believes it's received. And so in short, these governments have sent far more money towards the Clinton Foundation than it appears show up in the Clinton Foundation books.
Do you think FBI Director Comey, he was asking Congress, are you looking into the Clinton Foundation? He said, I can't answer that, which makes you think maybe there's an investigation. Do you think that the whole upper echelon of government is corrupted and they're never going to do anything about this? This is massive fraud and corruption, both parties, the highest levels of government. Do you think that there's any way they'll ever have an investigation and take people to jail and shut this thing down?
Well, I can tell you categorically that I know of one state investigation that has been open, and I'm trying to get other U.S. state investigations open, and I'm going to be doing my level best to get international investigations open. And the reason I'm trying to do that is that under our system, this president, any president,
Center yourself up now. Center yourself up. There you go. Go ahead. This system, any president, go ahead.
Any president cannot pardon state or foreign crimes. You can pardon federal crimes, but not state or foreign. So my focus has been to convince U.S. states and foreign governments to do the work that the IRS and perhaps other branches, the FTC, have not yet done. In addition, I have reached out to Marsha Blackburn, who is a wonderful congressperson from Tennessee. She actually likes to be called Congresswoman. And she just recently issued a letter that was co-signed by, I think, close to 70 congresspeople demanding investigations by the FTC, the IRS, and the FBI of this Clinton global charity fraud conspiracy. And I think it's really important. One reason is when you think about, when your listeners and viewers think about this, Americans are very generous.
All right. So anyway, I thought you would find that notable. There's $100 billion in the Clinton charity somehow. They haven't done an exhaustive accounting. There's been no pressure from the government for them to really account for themselves. They're not in the appropriate category to do international charity. They've got $100 billion. Where's it going? I mean, you know, Donald Trump has $2 billion, $4 billion, $10 billion, whatever. And the Clintons have $100 billion in the list of people Bill Clinton hangs around. You would be very surprised how many of them are convicted felons. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450, and 805-618-02 text. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. Good morning.
Morning. Who's this?
This is Jeffrey. I've got a list of websites I'd like to give to the public.
All right. Hey, Jeffrey, let me put you on hold. I'll be right back. Well, we'll go on the air, okay?
And I'm calm. Don't worry, Kelly.
Jeffrey.
I was a little wound
Jeffrey.
Up the other day. I'm fine
Jeffrey.
Now, okay?
Jeffrey, just listen to me, okay? I'm going to put you on hold.
Thank you.
All right, so it makes you wonder why Trump hasn't said anything about this, but maybe he's holding it. But anyway, we have Jeffrey. Thanks for the call, Jeffrey. You had some websites for people you wanted to share?
Yes, sir. I'd like to share some information websites.
Go for it. We'll tell people what they're about.
This is they call it the alternate information system. You know, Alex Jones. It's this is true news. This is what's really happening, not the fake corporate media that we have pushed down our throat every day.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
Prisonplanet.com.
That's Alex Jones. Yes.
Pardon?
Yes, Alex Jones. Go for it.
Geoengineeringwatch.com. BPEarthwatch.com. Trends Journal. That'll tell you where we're at in the economy. You're not going to like it. Agenda 21. People need to educate themselves on Agenda 21 and Agenda 30. We're also a sanctuary city and county and state here, and people need to educate themselves on that. We've already got illegals here. Many. And then we have most of our soldiers are overseas, and the other army are in Canada.
You're breaking up, Jeffrey. You're breaking up, Jeffrey.
Mexico ready to attack.
All right,
but
Jeff.
That's all we got to say for now.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jeff, and have a good day. All right, folks, get a good line when you call in here. It could be the height of your fame for your life. So make the most of it. Anyway, all right. So $100 billion. So, you know, they're blocking the Tea Party from getting tax exempt status, and then the Clinton. You know, the Clinton Foundation, supposedly Bill Clinton wasn't even on the board of that thing for about 10 years. I don't know what he was doing, but it just makes you wonder, where does the money go? If they have $100 billion, nobody can spend $100 billion, you know, unless you're buying companies or something like that. But $100 billion, that's more than Bill Gates has. So what do... You know, what do they do with this $100 billion? Now they say about 10% of it goes to charity, but think about this: 10% of it goes to charity, but it's 10% of 2 billion, so that would be 200 million has gone to charity in the life of the charity. 200 million would be. It would be like 0.05%. It would be. Of 100 billion. So 200 million as a part of 100 billion is just a drop in the ocean. So anyway, that's what's going on now. It should alarm you that we're running the kind of a government where if you're in the right party or if you're the right person, you can get away with all this stuff. It's very scary because it makes you wonder if Hillary were to get into office, what she would do. If these guys are building up this giant war, you know, this giant cash pile of $100 billion, what's their purpose? You know, it makes it seem like the entire reason that they got into office was like to become a rock star, for Bill Clinton to have all the women he could possibly sleep with on the one hand, and then on the other hand, to make as much money as possible. So... I don't know. What do you think? I mean, to me, the whole thing is just kind of mind-blowing, mind-boggling. And Schweitzer says that the FBI is looking into that thing. But what if they do? So anyway, one of the things that I found out over the weekend doing some research into James Comey was that and somebody had mentioned this to me. He's known the Clintons for a long time. He was, believe it or not, you know, the thing, the investigation into Whitewater, he was involved with that. He was involved in that, and it was for one, I don't know, you know, you hear about these people and you just kind of wonder what it is that is kind of drives them along. James Comey gets, I guess it's power, and maybe it's fear. Maybe they've got some blackmailing on these people, but it is, I don't know. It's just, it's really an unbelievable turn of events that Hillary is just about to become. Yeah, she's just about to become the president. If Trump continues to upset people, and maybe it's just the media piling on, I would be all in favor of that interpretation. But you know, Hillary's on the verge. She's very sick as well. So anyway, we'll take a break here. I've got a little clip of something that happened last week I think you'll enjoy. 6:59, Kelly O'Connell will be right back. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450 on the 8th day of August. If you were listening last week, or if you missed it, and this is especially for you who missed it, there was an exciting interaction between Kathy and I that I thought I would replay. Kathy and I talking about sex and the modern world and dating and marriage and minding your own business. Kelly, who's this? And let me get the Grant Green in the can here. All right. Here we go.
Kelly, it's Kathy. You know, you've been talking family values, and I mean, the candidate, the boy there, has been married three times and has five children between three wives. Do you think Hillary could have even been running for president had she done that?
Kathy.
I mean, like,
Kathy, hold on a second. Yeah. There's a lot of people, including some of the people that have known Hillary for a long time, that say that she's a switch hitter. So, I mean, they've claimed
that. You know what? That's her business, isn't it, Kelly? That's the problem with you Republicans. You got to stick your nose in everybody's bedroom.
Kathy.
I don't care who she's sleeping with.
Kathy.
I don't care who you're sleeping with.
Kathy.
Girl, boy, or anything
Kathy.
In between. Why
Kathy.
Does that matter to you?
Kathy, why do you have to rant and rave and not allow me to interact with you? Why do you have to do that?
I'm sorry.
Take
Go
it
ahead.
On the air. Hold on. We're about on the air. Hold on.
O'Connell and AM Las Cruces on KOBE.
All right, folks. I've got Kathy here, and Kathy is now enraged because I'm not looking at the fact that Trump has really played the field when it comes to the females. Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, I mean, you talk family values. That's all you talk about.
That's all I talk about?
Express all these values, and yet
Trump
doesn't have any of them.
Hold on
I mean,
a second. Hold on
times.
A second.
He's got five
Kathy.
Kids between three women.
Kathy, please let me respond. You get on these rants, and sure. It's just like turning on the TV at full blast.
Since I listen to you.
Thank you for insulting me in various different ways.
Well, you're insulting
Can
me,
I,
too, so we're even, aren't we?
You don't even allow me enough time to insult you. Listen for a second here. I'm not getting up here and banging the drum for family values and sticking my fingers in people's faces and saying you're horrible, do it my way, family values. I'm trying to figure out what's happened to the society, which has taken away, I think, a lot of the pleasure of being a human being in our society. And I think that's one of the things. Do you disagree?
I do disagree.
Why?
Kelly. I think everybody has their own idea of heaven, and I don't think you should be dictating
it
to other
not,
people.
It is not having
if you don't,
Kathy, listen to me for a second. Let's have some back and forth. People will find it more interesting. This is not a Christian sermon. This is an observation about what brings pleasure and happiness and deep meaning into people's lives. I'm not preaching the Bible.
Well, let's ask Donald Trump. He's been married three times, got five kids between three women, so we know it brings him pleasure. And I wonder if Hillary had been married three times and had five kids with three men, if she'd even be running for president.
Why wouldn't she be?
She wouldn't be allowed.
Why wouldn't she be? I mean, look, a lot
well,
of people. Hold on,
I mean,
Kathy,
for that.
God's sakes, just have a little bit of decorum for a second here. This idea that Hillary is some sort of a saint and now she's unfairly.
No, no.
Hold on, Kathy, please, or I'll have to take down the mic so I can just make a statement. She is supposed to be bi or whatever and have these affairs with women, but I said that to you and you just blew up.
Yeah, like what does it matter to you? It doesn't matter.
Then what does it matter what Trump does? What does it matter?
Kathy, business. That's
Kathy, for
life.
God's sakes, get a hold of
your.
Would you gird your loins for a second and get a hold of yourself? Then for that argument, what difference does it make what Trump has done?
That's right. It doesn't. Not to me. But if you Republicans, you high and mighty moral compasses of the United States, then
you're not
everybody else's personal
Kathy,
business.
Kathy, why are all of these teachers having affairs with 15-year-olds? Is that also their business?
You know, that is a different argument, Kelly. But a gay teacher, I don't care.
Care if a gay teacher has an affair with one of their students?
No, I just said that, Kelly. Not with children. 18 and over, it's none of your business. Under that, yeah, we need to say something.
I'm trying to put the pieces of your rant together to put a picture in my mind. I can't talk about sex, right? In other words, unless I'm saying go out and sleep with whoever you want and don't let anybody judge you. That's what you're saying.
Kelly, I grew up in the 70s, in the 60s. Yeah, it's none of your business who I'm sleeping with and what I do in my personal life, even if I'm a politician. We're just not enlightened that enough in this country. You seem to think, I guess the Republicans especially, that everybody for life has got to be put out there to be judged by the rest of the country. Let's start judging what's going on in the rest of the country. If you worry about your own lives, and start worrying about what other people are doing,
Kathy,
be a whole lot better off.
Kathy, do your neighbors run in the house when they see you come outside? They're afraid of a rant?
My neighbors love me, Kelly. Neighbors love me.
Sure. Okay.
They love me.
Uh-huh.
Just like you do, sweetie. I'm sure.
I'm
saying you're not being fair to Hillary, but this is conservative talk radio, and I don't expect you to be. I listen so I can hear all of your other listeners that are real conservative and shake my head and wonder how that happened. I don't know.
All right.
Amazing.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. All right, so that was Kathy. what do you think of that? Thought you might find it entertaining to check it out. All right, so let's see what's going on here. Anyway, we are okay. What we talked about last week, we can talk about it again today. But I found usually that if there's a good topic one day, it doesn't necessarily get handed over to the next day. The observation that I had made was that they seem as happy as they used to be, which you can blame on anything you want, and you can say it's inexplicable. It has nothing to do with anything that we're moving forward as a society, and if we're moving forward, we're gaining things, and we may be losing other things as well, happiness. Momentary happiness is not the issue. We've got feminism. We've got globalism. We've got, the sexual revolution. We've got technological world that we live in. And people have a lot of more options than they used to have. And they will be overwhelmed, but at some point we'll reach our equilibrium. But my argument was just through observation, through my work as an attorney, and I oftentimes am in family court. and just the people I've known and just watching people interact and stories I've read, everything, all these different things lead me to believe that people are not as satisfied with life as they used to be. And I put that out there, and Kathy went for it as an attack on free sex or privacy, I guess would probably be more charitable for her to, you know, mind your own business. But we're kind of living in a new age, and I just think it was my perception in my statement last Friday that people get their identity and they get, you know, your happiness as a child, and you could talk to any kid in an orphanage about this, your happiness as a child is greatly impacted by your family, your connection to your family, your parents, your real parents, your step parents, whatever. And, you know, there's a lot of people that get adopted or find out later they've been adopted, or that they're the person they thought that was their real dad was a stepdad or whatever. And it for a lot of these people, it's a devastating piece of information, you know. So anyway, that was what the rant of Kathy. Kathy grew up in the 70s, and not only free love, but mind your own business and get out. Even a politician has right to a privacy. Now, does a politician have a right to privacy in the White House, in the Oval Office with an employee? I guess to Kathy he would, or she would, I guess, if Hillary had somebody in there. All right, so we'll take a break here. 716 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450, and we're going to come back and see what I have on the agenda here for you. Well, let's get into a little bit of ISIS to find out what's going on with them. We'll be right back. All right, I've got some Pierce here. We'll give it a shot, see what happens. And it's at 7:22. Well, folks, this is a special segment with Steve Pierce here, and he was gave us a little bit of. I do not hear anything coming through. Anyway, I'll spend some time with the tech guy today to work on that. To work on the Pierce stuff. There is always a need to be updated on your technology, which I'm not a super high tech person. So let me get into a little bit of headlines for you here. And I'm sure you heard Delta grounded the flights due to a system problem. The question is what caused the problem? And let's see here. See if I can find you a medal count here. United States has 3 golds, 5 silver, 4 bronze, 12 total. China, 3 gold, 2 silver, 3 bronze for 8. Australia, 3 gold, 3 bronze for 6. Italy, 2 gold, 3 bronze, 2 gold, 3 silver, 2 bronze for 7. So I guess they're ahead of Australia, except in the golds. In South Korea, 2 gold, 2 silver, 1 bronze. And then the rest are kind of falling out after that. So the first medal that was taken was from the shooting competition from a girl that they said was a basically just kind of a genius shooter. And I'm trying to find out, there's been a lot of problems in the Olympics, so doing a little bit of research there for you. And let's see here. Let's they're saying that the Olympics are having just a lot of issues. So let's let me come back in just a second here. And for some reason, Pokemon is coming up a lot. So let's take a little break. And I switched over to Miles Davis. Grant Green is too depressing. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 at 725. And I'll come back with a little Olympic coverage and then move into some ISIS. I do have some news on the problems at the Olympics, in case you're wondering. Here's a little bit, and this is from a couple of days ago from ABC.
The Olympics. Absolutely. Not sure how high tech, but high wattage. Let's start with that. The opening ceremonies, just hours away. Amy is in Rio with all the pomp and circumstance surrounding tonight's big events and also the concerns swirling around the big games. Good morning to you, Amy.
Hey, good morning, Lara. Good morning, everyone back in New York. It is a beautiful day here in Rio, and it's expected to be a gorgeous night. Day one today is all about the pageantry. An estimated 70,000 people are expected to attend tonight's opening ceremony, but there are big concerns now about safety and doping this morning. Take a look. The 2016 Summer Olympics are just a few hours away, but before they kick off here in Rio, a controversial ruling from the game's governing body. The International Olympic Committee telling ABC News overnight that while 271 Russian athletes are now cleared to compete, 118 have been banned. The decision coming after many thought the nation's entire team, known for its athletic prowess, would be absent in Rio following an alleged statewide doping scandal. This, as Brazil, the host country, is still working out kinks, preparing for the games to begin, plagued by incomplete construction at its venues, a water crisis, Zika fears, and protesters. And now, adding insult to injury, check out these workers using bolt cutters to open the gates to the stadium to tonight's venue after reportedly losing their keys. And speaking of tonight, the Olympics...
All right, so there was a lot of construction problems. There were dead bodies floating around right before the Olympics. There's a lot of gang activity that has occurred. And there was even a lot of, like, sewage issues of feces in the water and such. So, but here is a little bit from Wall Street Journal why Rio wasn't ready. And this is also a couple of days ago.
Olympians and delegates, construction delays, and political unrest are just a few problems Rio de Janeiro is still facing. Only a few days before the Olympics opening ceremony.
Hello, Rio.
Many raise questions whether Rio de Janeiro can pull off the biggest sporting event in the world. Here is what you need to know. Australian athletes were robbed during a fire evacuation on July 29th at the Olympic Village. Laptops and team shirts were stolen. A Chinese athlete was also robbed last week. Human rights groups are protesting an increase in the number of recent violent incidents. Rio state government said 84 people were killed by police officers in May, a 91% increase from a year earlier. The Olympic Village is another issue foreign teams have with Rio. When teams arrived a week ago, athletes cited problems with cleanliness, water leaks, and exposed wiring. The $3 billion subway expansion finally opened this week, but riders still have to take a bus for at least 8 miles before reaching the Olympic venues. Some athletes moved out of the village and into hotels to get closer to their venues.
A number of star athletes have skipped the Olympics this year because of the Zika virus.
Although golf returns to the Olympics for the first time in 112 years, some of the sport's biggest stars won't be playing, like Jason Day from Australia and Vijay Singh from Fiji. Canadian tennis star Nils Raonic also pulled out of the Olympics. Water pollution is another huge issue. Rio was supposed to clean up the beaches and Bay Area, where sailing and other sports are taking place. But the Associated Press released a study that the waterways are just as filthy as ever, and tourists can face serious health risks.
All right, so pretty bad situation there in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of people that didn't go to... They simply didn't go to the Olympics because they were afraid, like Stephen Curry, of getting sick. I've got some weather news here for you. And then I've got some local weather. But what I found out with the Steve Pierce interview is I actually have two interviews. The one is never plays over the air, and the other one is I've got to get it transferred from one type of file to another, and I'll do that today. But the upshot being that I'm using my own computer because the other computer was so slow and I couldn't play more than I opened up Windows and they wouldn't work, and it was freezing all the time, as you recall if you were listening at that point. So anyway, I brought my own computer in here. I got it used. I got a really nice one for pretty cheap. So the thing that causes speed in a computer is the processor using an i3, i5, i7. i7's the most advanced. Another one is your RAM, the memory that you use to go online and do stuff. Are a couple of the big deals, and then a solid state drive. All right, so here's a little bit on the hurricane situation. And we've also got a flooding situation in Florida, but here is about closer to us, 39 dead in Mexico landslide caused by Tropical Storm Earl.
Tropical Storm Javier is moving north. There's a look at Manzanillo, Mexico over the weekend, where you can see those winds were pretty strong. A lot of rain coming down. Flooding concerns, mudslide concerns continue for Mexico. So here's the latest with Tropical Storm Javier. Pushes to the north, expected to strengthen within the next 24 hours. So by this evening, we'll see winds around 70 miles per hour as it makes landfall in Cabo and then pushes up to Baja California. So plenty of rain in the forecast. And here's a look at Javier's impact. We could see isolated rainfall up to 12 inches, life-threatening flash flooding and mudslides in Mexico, and increased rain for the southwest.
So down in Mexico, you've got a lot of possibility of severe flooding and flash floods that are life-threatening. But we should get rain up through here. From California to Arizona to New Mexico, we should all get a fair amount of rain. Here's a tropical deluge in Florida on the southwest, and it's going to be very, very heavy there.
South Coast on standby for more rain this week, as if you haven't had enough over the weekend. Days of rain to come. So, yeah, we're talking really until the end of the week. Plenty of rain in the forecast. So it's a stalled-out front to the north. We have a low-pressure system moving in from the east, and that spells flooding concerns from New Orleans all the way over to Florida, right through the panhandle. So we're going to see some of the heaviest rainfall this week, and wait till you see these totals. Now, the rain and flooding concern is not just for the Gulf. It extends further up to the southeast as well. So it is going to be pretty rainy for the south this week. Now, as far as how much we'll get, well, look at that bullseye, all that red there. New Orleans all the way around to the Big Bend, that's where we'll see the heaviest rain. So check out some of these totals. Destin points to the east, 7 to 10 inches likely through this week.
And that's down in Tampa. And we do have a phone call, by the way. I've got one more clip for you for having to do with the hurricane season. But it's Steve. Steve, good morning to you. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks, Kelly. I wanted to know if you'd watched the opening ceremonies from the Olympics on Friday night.
You know, I did miss it. So what did I miss?
The thing that jumped out at me was that it was so political laden. It was didactic. It was lecturing the world on everything from social justice to global warming.
God, and, terrible.
It wouldn't have been so bad. I mean, if it was some state with moral authority. But I thought it was like just comical that Brazil was choosing this time to lecture the rest of the world about good governance. That place is the worst governed place in the world. And it just jumped out at me. I haven't heard any commentary, but it was so, facile. It was just so bizarre to hear them taking this superior attitude.
Well, you know what it brings to mind is that... In far leftism and Marxism, everything becomes political because that's how you persuade people to get with the program. And it is extraordinary how that approach to life destroys institutions, the institutions that we built up over centuries to make it a better country and to protect us, separation of powers, but also the institutions that are classic element of republicanism. A republican form of government is far beyond democracy in terms of offering a good life, but it seems like these people are so sick in their politics, it's like a cancer.
Yeah, they're just beating a dead horse and they're just pursuing some really outdated ideologies. I wouldn't have minded if it was, Sweden, even Canada. They got something to be proud of, and maybe they have some